The peace of the Lord be with you. Amen. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. The light is the Word. The Word was in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and this life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, the light of the world, shines in the darkness. Epiphany, that is the time of shining. When we look at the light, today, we take our place with John and with the disciples, and we say also, as John said, we beheld his glory. Let us look at this glory, this shining, this first of signs, this first of miracles, wherein he shone forth and manifested his glory. We beheld his glory. John was with Jesus, with the disciples, at a wedding. Doesn't it seem unusual that at such an ordinary place of life, such an ordinary activity of human procedures and processes, the beginning of miracles, the first ray of glory, should take its place? Jesus was there. The mother of Jesus was there. The festivities proceeded quite normally. Everything was going well until all of a sudden, as so often is the case, a crisis developed. This crisis was a very, very severe one, particularly for this young couple that was just beginning their home and their family. The wine had played out. That doesn't sound like such a great tragedy, such a great crisis, and yet, imagine it, it was. The wedding celebration had only begun. It had just proceeded quite well, and all of a sudden, should it come to an end in embarrassment? The mother of Jesus, who evidently was a relative of the groom or the bride or both, came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, the wine. They ran out of it. They have no more." Jesus very politely told his mother, that is his business. He would take care of it. And that he did. Mary understood, for she told the servants, whatever Jesus commanded them to do, they should do. And the command was very simple, as you know. Jesus said, fill these big pots full of water. 6 of them. It's hard to figure out how many gallons they contain, somewhere between 60 or 110 each. It's a lot of gallons, quite an abundance, isn't it? And then the miracle happened, very quiet, very unobtrusively. Jesus did not get up and with a great deal of fanfare, with all kind of genuflections and whatnot, go through some kind of a rigmarole routine, abacadabra. He says, take the water to the master of the feast, best man, the toastmaster. And when he tasted it, he said, this is good wine, the best he had ever tasted. Marvelously, Jesus showed forth his glory, did he not? He showed forth that he is indeed more than just an ordinary master or teacher or some bleary-eyed activist. Only a little while before, John the Baptist had pointed to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God, the true, eternal God himself. And Jesus showed it so simply, so unobtrusively, did he not? But as he showed it, his glory shone through. His deity was very clearly established. A most marvelous miracle. And not only did he produce wine, but in great abundance and in excellent quality. Whatever the Lord does, he does well. It happened at a wedding. Let's not forget that. At a wedding where family home, the very laboratory of life, was to begin. After all, Jesus came for one reason, and that is to give life. To give life to those who were sitting in darkness and in the region and the realm of eternal death. Jesus gave blessing to the home. Indeed, he did. But it is not only this home. This is only the beginning. When you follow all of the wonderful signs that Jesus did in his ministry, the hundreds of them, they were always to sustain and establish life. The feeding of the hungry, the healing of those who were sick, the raising of the dead. Truly, he showed his blessing on family and home. In the ruler's house, who was weeping because his little child, his little daughter, had died, we hear him say, "Talitha kumi, arise, little girl." And she was alive. At the blasted life of a woman at Nain, who had lost her only son and she a widow, Jesus gave him back. He said, "Young man, arise." The family of his friends, Mary and Martha, death had come there. "Lazarus, come forth." Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John, you'll read it, when he compares himself and tells the people that he is the good shepherd and that his followers are his sheep, he says, "I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly." He was always dealing with life and giving his blessing. He always showed his majesty, his glory in connection with life. And it was dark that night in which he was betrayed, and there in the upper chamber he told farewell to his disciples. And he said, "Don't be afraid. I'm leaving now. I'm going home, but I want you to know that I still remember you, the family." He was dealing there with all the family of God, was he not? For he said, "I go home to the Father's house to prepare a place, and if I do, I'll come and get you, that you might be with me. Where I am, there you may be. I am the truth, the life, and the way." Again and again and again, he manifested his glory as he did here this first time at Cana. And of course, the glory of the cross is absolutely incomparable. For there he showed the true glory of eternal divine love in sacrificing himself for us and shedding his blood. And on Easter morn, with radiance bright, he ascended and forever sealed life, forever sealed salvation and peace. He manifested his glory. Yes, they beheld his glory and they believed on him. They believed on him. The disciples knew this was their first experience. And yet they knew truly this is the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior. They believed. Our Lord Jesus Christ comes to us in word, in sacrament, in his direct dealing with us today. He comes. He is with us. And I tell you, in our crises, he is there present also, helping us, but mostly he is there, giving us life, the life that is full, the life that he has gained for us. It is a miracle. The fact that you have Jesus, that you believe in him, as you sit there in the pew before me, that is a miracle. That is a manifestation of his glory, that you have been called unto him by the Holy Spirit, who is his sent teacher, instructor, comforter, creator of faith. How wonderful that we can behold his glory. There is a miracle that is more real than any that happens to us today. Let me tell you, there is bread, plain bread, and there is wine, plain wine, real good wine. In a few moments, we will eat that bread and drink that cup. But remember, the miracle, the glory of our Lord, of his grace, of his life, will come to us, really. For he, with his body and blood, the very seal of forgiveness, the means of our redemption, will he give to us. He will come to us. He will dwell with us, cleansing us, assuring us that we belong to the family of God, and that we are members invited to the eternal wedding feast above that'll have no end. Shall we not, as we behold his glory, believe in him? God grant it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.